spiritual abortion. How to prevent spiritual abortion. And how I wasn't really planning to teach on this morning, but yesterday morning while praying, I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw, you know, you have some little green plums. I saw about six small green plums that they were on the floor. And when I looked at it, I said, "Lord, what does this mean?" And he said that these fruit that they were aborted before they were developed. In other words, they were not, you know, you can't eat them. They are too young. But they were aborted before they were developed. And the Lord said, speak about how to prevent spiritual abortion and link the natural to the spiritual in that process. Amen? So, I'm primarily going to be talking about the Word of God as a seed. Bible says that the Word of God is likened unto a seed. And we're going to look at the anatomy of a seed. And in a sense, we're going to look at the anatomy of the Word of God as it relates to a seed. Amen? And I'm going to try and make it as simple as possible by God's grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just look at the person beside you and say, "Hi, how are you?" Praise the Lord. You can answer, no? You can say, "Boy, you know, praise God." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, how to prevent spiritual abortion. Let us pray. Father God, we bless you. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. We continue to thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We pray, Father, that you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that you'll continue to give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Lord, I pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened as we study your word today, Lord, that we might grow in the knowledge of God, that we might know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power that is available to us who believe. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. We honor you, we magnify your name, we glorify your name, O God. Hallelujah. And we pray, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your rule, your reign be established in our hearts and in our minds during the ministry of this word. Cause your word to be quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Cause your word to pierce even to the dividing asunder of our soul and our spirits. Cause your word to be a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to share a little song with you. And, you know, when I was just born again, when I just met the Lord, I fell in love not only with God. Of the next plant, the next generation plant is right here, right? So that is the embryo, and then this is the seed. I think you call this a what? A longitudinal section, is it? I remember some biology. This is a longitudinal section, and you know, you have the food in here, starch that the embryo feeds on. In a human being, the embryo or the fetus, it gets food from the bloodstream of the mother. But in the plant has stored food here, right in this area. And this is the skin or the coat of the seed. Like if you have red peas, this would be the red coat of the seed. Alright, but this is the embryo. And what God says is that the word of God is like likened unto a seed. Amen? Now the embryo is alive. It is alive. And this is what it germinates and it pops up and it produces a plant. So if this is a gungu seed, it germinates and this embryo pops out and it grows into a gungo plant, and then the gungo plant bears a lot of gungo. Amen. We have about 4 gungo plants around the back of our house. And when we go out to pick gungo, it takes a long time. Each plant grew from one seed, and the amount of gungo on one tree, you can swing a pot with it. Amen. At each picking. Really, really good. Really good bearing. Amen? Praise the Lord. So an embryo, it has life in it, and it produces growth of a plant, and then that plant is hopefully very fruitful. Very fruitful. Amen? But the word of God is likened unto a seed. Praise God. So, whenever we get a word or a seed, in other words, God gives you a word. Alright, you're getting a word now. Whenever you get a word or a seed from God, that word has an embryo or a promise in it. That word has an embryo or a promise in it. In other words, that word has life in it. Just like how a gungo seed has life in it, the word of God has life in it. Amen? And it has an embryo or a promise that is at a rudimentary or early stage of development. Like a seed, if that word is not properly nurtured, it can die or be aborted. Amen? So let me go back to the previous slide. Well, Dr. Godier, that seed here, this seed, for this seed to realize its full potential, it needs soil, it needs water, it needs oxygen, it needs carbon dioxide, and it needs care for that seed to realize its full potential. And what Jesus is saying in the parable of the sower is that the seed or the word, that it has certain requirements in order for that word to realize its full potential in the hearer's life. Amen? Very important. This message is very important. It can change your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Now, in the passage, this passage here, Luke 8, 9 to 10, Jesus was with his disciples. And one of the things we see here is that a disciple, and I want you to listen to this, because remember, we've been talking about discipleship. And whether every disciple is a Christian or is every Christian a disciple. And there's a certain place of privilege that a disciple occupies with respect to Jesus. A disciple has access to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Think about that. Think about that. A disciple has access to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Now, I have heard persons who are not disciples or Christians, they say they can't understand the word of God. Now, when I read this, I understand why they can't understand the word of God. Because Jesus is saying that a disciple has access to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. You know, one of the things that I have always hungered for since 1977 is for understanding of God's word. I pray it almost every day. Lord, give me understanding of your word. Give me revelation of your word. From that time, you know, I noticed that concerning David said, I have more understanding than my elders. That's what he said, you know. He said, I have more understanding of my elders because I obey your word. Wow. And that drove me to live a life of obedience to God's word. Because I want understanding. The more I understand God, is the more I know God, is the better is my relationship with God. And that's what church is all about. Amen? Hallelujah. So, let's go to the next slide. And let us see what Jesus is saying here. It says, his disciples asked him. You know, a disciple always asks questions. Why? Because a disciple is a learner. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone who wants to learn more and more about God. If you are coming to church and you don't want to learn or to know more about God, it's either you're not saved or something wrong with you. And I don't mean to offend you, but I mean to challenge you. Amen. You know what I found? If you love somebody, you want to know more about them. If somebody tells you that they love you and they don't want to know anything about you, they don't business about you, I would put a big question sign as to whether or not they love you. Amen? If all they are interested in is what they can get out of you, or get off of you, or get from you, that's not love. Amen? So, his disciples asked him, what this parable meant. He replied, and watch this, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. And when I saw that, I said, wow. Amen. If you are a Christian, you're a disciple. You are a Christian who is a disciple. You are permitted to understand, hallelujah, the secrets of the kingdom of God. In other words, there are things that God will reveal to you that he will not reveal to unbelievers. And that's why I have a problem when an unbeliever telling me what God is saying. Because he's not on the inner circle. He's not a part of the inner circle of God. Let me read it again. You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. These are the last days, and God is pouring out his spirit upon our flesh, and God is revealing things. He's revealing things to his people. But let me just put one word of caution. Whatever God reveals is not contrary to what is written in the Bible. It does not go against what is written in the Bible. That's very important. Amen. It's not contrary to what is written in the Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Watch this. But I use parables to teach the others, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand. So the unbeliever cannot understand the word of God. The unbeliever cannot see the truths that are in the word of God. So when you share the word of God with people and they say, boy, that's a foolishness, don't grab onto it and say, boy, a true, you know, a foolishness. You know, you have some Christians who do that. And start believing that a really foolishness is true. The word of God is not foolishness. An unbeliever cannot understand it. Amen? When I was an unbeliever, you know, people tell me about fornication. I mean, that is foolishness. Because what? I was an unbeliever. Amen? In my mind, man for fornicate. Well, many of them know there was a word named fornication. But you know, man for... To me, that was a man-up thing. You understand? But I was blind. But thank God, now I see. Amen? Hallelujah! And it's not me alone to stay, so either a lot of you inside or all of you to stay, so praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, think about it. As a disciple, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. That's a privileged position. And you need to go to God and say, God, you say so. I need to know the secret. I need to have understanding. I need to know you better. That's not just reserved for pastor. I'm not saying everything that God show me, I'm going to show you. And maybe in everything, whatever God show you, more show me either. But one thing, it will line up with the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In Revelation, there is this lady called Jezebel. In one of the books. And Jezebel had some deep secrets that nobody else had. And some church people believed her. And you know what she did? She encouraged them to commit fornication as part of that deep secret. Right? So, you know, it must line up with the word of God. Amen? Praise God. Now, the wonderful thing about this message, you know, is that perhaps there are persons here who are about to spiritually abort. And this message is not to bring condemnation, but this message is to bring restoration or continuation. Amen? It's like a woman who is pregnant and she contemplates abortion, and you go to her and say, no, don't abort the baby. The baby is a person. Even if it's one day old, it's a person. Amen. And we are saying the same about spiritual abortion. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, verse 11. Jesus said, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. And we covered that. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away. You got that? Who knows that the devil is interested in robbing you of the word of God? Amen? Hallelujah. You know, well, I've been to England several times, but, you know, at least on one occasion, I've been to Trafalgar Square. And in Trafalgar Square, you have a lot of statues, but you also have a lot of birds. I don't remember what type of birds they were. And the English people, they come with a lot of seeds, bags of seeds, and they throw the seeds on the ground, and the birds eat up the seed. Now those seeds never have an opportunity to germinate. Those seeds never have an opportunity to realize their full potential. Are you with me? Because the bird eat them up, and the digestive system destroy them, and they pass them out. Praise the Lord. Amen? And what Jesus is saying, that those that fell along the path, which is hard ground, he said, the bird of the air, which is the devil, comes and picks up the seeds before the people can understand. So understanding God's word is very important. There's a word being shared with you now. You need to understand it. If you don't understand it, the devil will come and rob you of that word, of this word. And that is why we need to pray for understanding. Pray for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ when we read the word. And pray for application. How do I, Lord, how do I apply this to my life? Amen. Praise God. Maybe you are in here right now and you have locked off your brain. You have locked off your mind from this word. Well, the devil have you locked. Because having locked off your brain, you are not in a position to receive the word and benefit from the word. So it says, the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. Amen. So, you know, people might come to church and I hear the word and I say, well, me can't bother listen to no word, yeah. Can't bother with no word. But that means the devil has robbed you right there. The devil got you where he wants you, because he does not want you to be saved. He wants you to go to hell with him. Hell was prepared for the devil, and the devil is looking for people to go with him to hell. We have to be aware, beware of the wiles of the devil. So the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. Hallelujah. Then it says the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, that is, they don't pray, they don't read the word, nor obey God's word, you need to do those things in order to have deep roots in God. In order to be deeply rooted in God, you need to have a relationship with God by praying, by reading his word and obeying his word. Amen. And your roots will get deeper and deeper. It says, they believe for a while. A while. Have you ever seen somebody come to the altar and give their life to Jesus, and they don't come back to church? And when you look at them, you say, wait, I taught them to come to the altar. But what? They have not, they don't have a real fellowship with the church. They don't pray. They don't read the word. They don't apply the word. So they're gone. They go back. That's what Jesus is saying here. Amen? You see, that seed, in order for it to grow, it needs prayer. It needs the reading of the word, and it needs the obedience to God's word in order for it to grow. In other words, those elements are the fertilizer that make that seed grow and bear fruit. Amen? That's the fertilizer of the word. Prayer, reading the word, and obeying the word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, it says, they believe for a while. Then, they fall away when they face temptation. Amen? So, everybody is going to be tempted, you know. The Bible says, when you are tempted, not if you are tempted. The Bible says, When you are tempted, amen. Just a matter of time. But for you to overcome temptation, Jesus said you must watch. How you watch? You pray. You need to read the word of God, and you need to obey the word of God in order to overcome temptation. Amen? Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want sound weak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to know that you are there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And then it says in verse 14, the seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out. And I want you to note the words crowded out. Hey. Amen. You have to watch which crowd you hang out with. Amen. If you hang out with the wrong crowd, the message will be crowded out. If you hang out with the right crowd, the message will be strengthened. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Amen. Can you imagine that? The poor want to be rich. Yet Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How hard. And we need to be careful. You know, there's nothing wrong to have money. But don't let money have you. There's a difference. Amen. It's good to have money. Nobody wants to be poor. It's good to have money. But don't let money have you. When money have you, you worship the money. You forget about God. Amen? So, the cares of this world, house money, school money, light bill money, water bill money, pick the clothes money, rent money, those things can crowd out the message of the word. You know why? You are no longer operating in faith. You are no longer saying, God, I present all my needs to you, and I leave them at your feet, and I trust you to provide them. You're not saying that any longer, you know. You are saying, boy, never go, Lord have mercy. Where this all come from? Where God there? Me talk, God love me. Look how much time I pray to God. Me fast, and nothing now happen. What I want? That is allowing the cares of this world to take hold of you. Amen? And that will choke the word. The riches and the pleasures of this life. Riches and the pleasures of this life. I heard of a Christian married woman. She leave her husband at home and go on session. If it was me, the lock change when she come back. Praise God. Seriously. Change luck. Praise God. But guess what? She dealing with pleasures. Riches and pleasures of this life. And there are so many church people who are still running down the riches and the pleasures of this life, and it choke the word. And you get spiritual abortion. Amen. And it says, and so they never grow into maturity. Amen. You know, it's no rocket science, you know, when people not growing, you know. When people not growing in the Lord, something wrong. Something wrong. You don't need no psychiatrist or psychologist to analyze the situation. Something is wrong. And notice, it don't take long, you know. But all too quickly. Amen? In my days, you used to have some bike. Them call it quickly. Quickly bike. Simple little bike. The message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. Why? Because they are experiencing spiritual abortion. Amen? Hallelujah. Finally, it says, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it. I like that. What they do? They cling to it. They hold on to it. They hang on to it. They refuse to let go of it. Come what? How does this saying go? Praise God. Don't remember it, but anyway. Come hell, them say, come on hell or high water. Amen. Cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. What type of harvest is that? Huge harvest. And what it require? Patience. Patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Patiently produce a good harvest. These are the ones who resist the devil. Do not allow the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life to affect them. And by God's grace, have overcome temptation. Notice what I say? By God's grace. Amen. You need God's help. You need God's help to overcome temptation and prevent spiritual abortion. Amen. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So, this is the parable of the sower. And remember, he said to his disciples, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Amen? You are permitted to understand. God has a wonderful relationship for his children. It's not a one-way relationship where you're always talking to God and you're not hearing from God. What he's saying here is that you talk to him and he talks back to you. There's a relationship. Amen? And that's a relationship that is offered to every disciple of God. Amen? Let us stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So remember now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remember that the word of God is likened unto a seed. Amen? And the seed has an embryo, which is the part of the seed that has life, has potential for growth and production. And what God is saying is that the word of God is a seed. And that seed, he says in John 6:63, my word is spirit and it is life. So the word of God is like a seed. It has life. But guess what? How you access the life is through obedience and application. Amen? So, it has an embryo, and the word of God is able to produce life. God gives you a word. You need to have patience with that word. Nurture that word. Water that word in prayer and in the study of the Bible. And you will produce much fruit. Amen. Praise God. Now, Pastor Metz, 3 weeks ago, I had a word. Amen. He sent his word to heal and elbow. How are your elbows? Talk the truth. And speak it. Speak the truth and speak it ever.
I wouldn't speak anything less. But, so there are the two, but the left still hurts, but the right not so much.
The right not so much.
The right has decreased, but the left still hurt. Amen. Now, does that mean that the word was a bad word? It means that she has to water that word, nurture that word, keep bringing that word before God and you know, working the elbows and thanking God for healing the elbows. Amen? But guess what? You know what to do? You get out a word and you come up and you are prayed for and nothing happened. And what you do? Throw away the word. You forget the word. You say, no, sir. That not work. You have aborted the word. Amen? You have aborted the word. You need to... You got the word. The word was accurate. The word was from God. You get the word and you keep working the word. Nurturing the word. That's how it works, you know. That's how it works. That's why the Bible says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recovery takes time. And for some people, take more time than others. Amen? I got a word 8 years ago about my heart. Now my heart is stronger than it was then, but it's still in the recovery process. And guess what? I am watering that word. I am nurturing that word. Amen? I am lifting up that word before God. We got a word for Pastor Reed. About 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I shared that as I was thinking about her, that the word of the Lord came to me and in the form of a question. And God said, is there anything too hard for God? And I think Andrea and our sister here said that God gave them a similar word for her about Pastor Reed. Amen? You see, we have got to learn to hold on to the word. Cling to the word. Don't let go of the word. Water the word. Mulch the word. Provide nutrition for the word. Because God says, heaven and earth will pass away. But he says, not one jot or tittle of my word will pass away. Amen? Hallelujah! Hold on to that word! Don't let go of the word! Cling to the word! Say, word, you're not leaving me! The word will pull you all kind of way, but don't let go of the word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Man, not let go! Amen? And if it's still going on, you say, you know, you may say, man, not let go! Do you know that's what Jacob did? When the angel, when he met the angel, he said, the angel touch him hip and injure him hip, and he said, and not let him go until you bless me, and they wrestled the whole night. Brethren, we need to start wrestling with God. Stop going on like somebody could think of people. Wrestle with God. Because God's words are true. They are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Have you looked in a notebook? You get a word. Write down the word. I have about 6 notebooks. Sometimes I can't find one and I just start another one. Write down the word. Amen. Because the word is going places. And I want to go places. So I need to have the word. It is the word that will take me places. It's the word that will take me out of the situation. It's the word that will change my life. Understand that, brethren. It is the word. The word of God. The word of God that makes a difference. Don't let go of the word. Amen? Praise God. You know, when we were next door, before we bought this place, we were upstairs next door, and a prophetess came from the United States, and she prophesied over Pastor John. He was then about 14. That he will be the praise and worship leader. At that time he had another praise and worship leader. I don't think he was involved in praise and worship then. And she came over me and she said, you are a rich man. At that time, you know, pocketbook, you know. And I don't know if it's much different now. But guess what? Me kind of push it one side, you know. Like men want a silver and gold. Amen? But Pastor Reed heard that word, and every now and then she said, Lord, you said, Pastor will be a rich man. Bring up that word, Lord. And sometimes I say, I wish I prayed that for. I am seeking the kingdom first. Going on nicey. Amen. And time again, she bring it up, and recently I say, you know something, I better hold on to this word, you know. I better take out this word and dust it off and put some fertilizer on it. Amen. But guess what? You know what I want money for? So that I can bless. Bless people. Bless God's kingdom. Amen. But brethren, hold on to the word. A prophecy comes in the meeting. Don't take it lightly. The Bible says, do not despise prophecies. Oh, it's not T.D. Jakes prophesying. But let me tell you, it's the same Holy Ghost. Hey, same Holy Ghost.